Money Radio, thank you so much for joining us today. And joining us now, a pleasure to welcome James Thompson, formerly head of Amazon Services. That's the division of Amazon responsible for recruiting tens of thousands of sellers to the Amazon marketplace. He is also involved in Buy Box Experts. He's a partner in Buy Box Experts and co-founder of The Prosper Show and co-author of a new book. And this is a really intriguing book because we get to see behind the veil of Amazon to some extent. The book is entitled The Amazon Marketplace Dilemma, A Brand Executive's Challenge, Growing Sales and Maintaining Control. The Amazon Market Dilemma by James Thompson and the co-author Joseph Hansen. James, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sinclair, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me today.
So here's the crucial question, to Amazon or not to Amazon? And it really is an existential question for many businesses, isn't it?
Well, let's focus first on brands, companies that make products, and they're trying to figure out, do they or don't they get their products distributed on Amazon? Here's the scary underlying truth. Whether a brand wants to be sold on Amazon or not, chances are, in time, its products will be there anyways. Amazon is an open marketplace, and that means that anybody who has product can sell the product. Yes, there's a few exceptions for big-name brands that people may have read in some of the business publications, but for all intents and purposes, 99.9% of brands, if somebody gets their hands on the product, they can go on Amazon and they can start selling it. I'm talking everything as simple as, you know, you or I get a birthday gift we don't like. We could turn around and create a product listing on Amazon and start selling that product. So if I'm a brand executive running a brand and I'm trying to make that decision, should I or should I not put my product on Amazon, chances are it's going to end up there sooner or later. And that means that you have to figure out, what are you going to do to manage what your brand looks like on Amazon? What are you going to do to make sure that the way your brand is represented to customers is consistent with what you do in every other channel? What are you going to do to make sure that the companies that represent your brand on Amazon are doing the right things for your brand? Most brands have big, extensive marketing departments, and they're trying to figure out how to grow their business. But this Amazon channel, it's kind of a strange outlier because it's not within the control of the marketing department of most brands. It's within the control of whoever happens to be selling the product on Amazon. So we wrote this book specifically because we kept running into brands that had this perception that somehow they could make the first decision as to whether or not their brand would show up in this Amazon channel. And that, unfortunately, is not the case. So we want to prepare brand executives so they're well educated and well underway to making good decisions about what to do to represent their brand effectively on this channel.
Yeah, there are a few different ways, the channel that we're talking about, and that first one was the do-nothing approach, I suppose. A reseller is going to sell the brand whether the business has any guidance or participation in the prospect. There are, however, first-party and third-party sellers or resellers. And a company could say, well, okay, we'll work with a reseller rather than dealing with it directly. And there are a few other options that go in there as well. Is there one best way to go about this, or what are some of the major considerations in finding the right channel?
Sure, Sinclair. So I think it's important to understand how most brands start this journey onto Amazon. It is not uncommon for a brand to finally decide that they need an Amazon strategy because some brand executive or some disgruntled brick-and-mortar channel seller complains to the brand and says, wait a minute, have you seen who's selling the product on Amazon? It's not uncommon for us to hear from a brand executive who said, I never thought that our product would show up on Amazon. My kid was on Amazon and showed me, and lo and behold, who are these 15 companies selling my product? So that's kind of the do nothing approach, which is to say the brand doesn't realize that something's happening on Amazon. They don't explicitly manage what's going on. And for all intents and purposes, they hope it will go away. They hope this Amazon channel problem will go away. What is often the easiest first step for a brand is if Amazon Retail, which is the group within Amazon that wholesales products and sells it itself on the channel, if Amazon Retail calls the brand and says, hey, we love your product, we would like to wholesale the product so we can sell it on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Most brands are B2B operations. They know how to sell products wholesale through different channels. And when Amazon Retail calls and says, we'd like to buy your product and sell it on Amazon, a lot of brands say, that's great, because quite frankly, we don't have an Amazon strategy. And if Amazon's going to take care of buying the product and selling it on Amazon, that should solve the problem. Well, it solves one problem, which is now you know at least one of the companies that's selling your product on Amazon. The problem is you don't know who all the other companies are that may also continue to sell your product. When Amazon Retail wholesales your product, there are a number of trade-offs and issues to concern yourself with, and we can get into that in a few minutes. But that's called the first-party approach, where you're wholesaling products directly to Amazon. They turn around and they sell the product. The next alternative distribution model, which is very common, is, as you mentioned, a brand working through sellers that it knows, and they say to their authorized sellers, would you please represent our brand on Amazon? Would you please go ahead and sell it? We'll give you permission to sell the product, not only in whatever brick-and-mortar channel where you may be selling it, but we'd like you to set up an Amazon seller account, what's known as a third-party account, and sell your product on the Amazon channel. Again, a good model for brands where they don't want to get involved in being the seller themselves. They don't want to become a B2C operation, but they're quite happy to work with their channel partners who already understand retail and turn the responsibilities of selling their brand to those retailers. So that's the standard third-party model. There's a number of interesting variations around that. Some brands will wholesale some of the product to Amazon Retail while at the same time selling some of their products through third-party sellers. There are also models where the brand decides to become a B2C operation and will set up a seller account of its own going direct to consumer. Obviously, for most brands, if they don't have B2C people in their organization, figuring out how to tackle this Amazon channel may involve hiring someone or developing new skills that they don't currently have. But if a brand can figure out how to wholesale, I apologize, if a brand can figure out how to merchandise and sell the product itself on Amazon, they're going to make retail margins instead of the wholesale margins they typically make. Mm-hmm. So that can be very exciting if the brand's prepared to take on the extra effort of being the seller of record on the Amazon channel.
So a brand almost has to have some sort of an Amazon strategy. They either develop their own strategy or a strategy will be imposed on them. Is that about right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of attention recently about a couple of big brands that have come to the attention of the press related to Amazon, one of them being Nike, mm-hmm. where Nike did not have a proactive strategy with Amazon for many, many years. They got to a point where there were lots of unauthorized sellers or gray market sellers who were selling Nike products on Amazon. Nike decided that wasn't a good long-term issue for its brand, and so they decided that they wanted to move forward with wholesaling some of their products directly to Amazon. What's very unusual in this particular situation is, although Amazon is an open marketplace, Amazon agreed to restrict the sale of Nike to only Amazon itself. So Amazon's removed all the other sellers of Nike products, leaving Amazon in a situation where they can much better control how the brand is represented on Amazon, because they're the ones that are going to be providing the content. This is very unusual, and quite frankly, I think every brand would love to be gated on Amazon and know exactly who is selling and who is not selling the product. Very unusual situation.
Well, it brings up some interesting points, though. Another big mm-hmm. one just recently was Kenmore, Sears appliances.
Yep.
And you think about this, and yes, now Nike and Kenmore can control the branding on Amazon. They can control pricing. They can control advertisement on the site because there is advertisement. They can have a better control over product availability. What are they giving up to Amazon, though?
Well, if a brand wholesales product to Amazon, they don't necessarily get control of inventory levels. They don't necessarily get control of pricing. Typically, what happens with any brand that wholesales product to Amazon, Amazon won't agree to a MAP or an MSRP policy. They won't agree to sell at only certain prices. In fact, Amazon has a whole army of computers that go out and scrape the prices of products all over the web, as well as doing in-store price checks. If they can find the product being sold cheaper somewhere else, typically Amazon will match that price. Now, they indicate that they will not be the one taking the first step at lowering the price, but they'll be very fast to respond in matching a price. So going back to your Kenmore and your Nike examples, while Amazon may be selling those products, they're also going to be very active in making sure that the price being offered on Amazon is close to, if not the lowest price anywhere out there for those items. So Nike and Kenmore aren't necessarily going to be in a position that now that they're working directly with Amazon, that they have any meaningful control over pricing that Amazon charges. If those brands do a good job of making sure that other channels don't have price erosion, then things should be okay on Amazon. Unfortunately, Sinclair, the vast majority of brands do not have 100% control of their distribution. And what that means is products end up in the hands of various people who may decide to sell the product outside of a MAP policy or an MSR policy. And now you've got cheaper prices somewhere else. And Amazon's very good at going and finding those cheaper prices and making sure that they match those cheaper prices on Amazon. So it's kind of an interesting dilemma for a brand. If you wholesale to Amazon, you think you might get certain control over certain issues, but that's not necessarily the case. The other issue you mentioned was inventory. Does a brand get control over inventory when it sells product to Amazon? Amazon's the one that's going to make the decision as to how much product to stock and when to restock. And so it is not uncommon for Amazon retail to run out of product. We've worked with some big brands that have experienced situations where deep into Q4, when sales are very, very high and products flying off the shelf, Amazon underbuys and the brand runs out of stock right at the heart of the highest demand for their product. And obviously that can be very damaging to the brand. And so the question is, what is the brand doing across other types of resellers or other types of distribution to make sure that their product remains consistently in stock to support Amazon customer demand?
Does a company get greater control over product quality and customer relationships? And I'm thinking now, one of the things I always look at when I shop on Amazon is the product reviews.
Yes, yes. So if a brand decides to wholesale product to Amazon retail, a couple of things happen. Number one, and in fact, this is worth mentioning, regardless of what type of seller you are on Amazon, Amazon owns the relationship with the customer. You don't own the relationship. You don't get access to customer data that would allow you to remarket to that customer later. So whether you're wholesaling to Amazon, whether you're a third-party seller yourself, whether you're working with other third-party sellers, you don't have the right to remarket to Amazon customers. So there is no relationship with that customer during the sale or after the sale. It very much is a transactional sale, and if you were to be fortunate enough to sell to that customer again, it's still the Amazon customer. You're basically renting the Amazon customer.
This is an intriguing look at Amazon by James Thompson and Joseph Hansen. The book is entitled The Amazon Marketplace Dilemma. The Amazon Marketplace Dilemma, and I'm guessing that the book is available on Amazon.
It certainly is.
We'll continue the conversation in just a moment. Money Radio. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're talking with James Thompson. He is co-author, along with Joseph Hansen, of The Amazon Marketplace Dilemma. James, it sounds as if Amazon is just in control of so much of this process, and that the businesses that decide to go through the Amazon channels are at a big disadvantage to Amazon itself. Weighing it all back and forth, is it a good idea to go with Amazon? It seems as if it is, because so many companies do it, and Amazon has grown to be so huge. And are there some caveats that companies need to be aware of? Maybe some other venues that they need to pay attention to as well?
It's very difficult for most brands to look away from a channel that has 200 million plus customers.
Yeah.
Why would a brand say, I'm not interested in that kind of customer base? It also turns out that even if a brand's not particularly interested in doing business with Amazon, chances are most of its competitors already are active on Amazon. So do you want to walk away from a channel and give all your competitors a bigger chance to grow much faster than you because you're not present and they are? That's also part of the dilemma a brand faces when they try to figure out what level of involvement they're going to have with this channel. I think it's important, when you talk about the caveats, it's important to think about what's going on here. These are Amazon's customers. All the search data, all the purchase data, that belongs to Amazon. And Amazon certainly doesn't share that with brands or with resellers. And so you're in a situation where Amazon can basically sell whatever it is they want millions and millions of times every day, collect all this data. At the same time, they're using this data to go off and build their own private label brands and do that often at very low margins that make it even harder for national brands to compete. And yet that's the model that Amazon uses. The intention here is for Amazon to be the shopping destination for customers on every purchase decision they might have. And how do you get customers to keep coming back? You create the greatest selection at the lowest price. If there are national brands that are too expensive and don't convert very well, and Amazon can figure out that it's important to go and build those types of products, they'll happily go and build their own private label versions, put an Amazon brand name on it, and sell it to customers just to keep those customers coming back to the Amazon channel. When you think of all the things that Amazon does today with Kindle, with Amazon Prime, with Prime Videos, these are all different types of efforts to create stickiness with customers, to keep them coming back. So the national brand that says, I don't want to do business with Amazon, that's a very difficult conclusion to come to. Mm-hmm. I would look at it this way instead and say, if I'm a brand and I see this Amazon channel, I know I'm going to have to be active in some manner, but I better know what all the trade-offs are and what the issues are that I face. It's not a long-term decision, oh, I'm going to work with Amazon and what happens today is going to continue to apply. Not at all. Amazon's becoming a more and more powerful channel. It's the organization that has more customer data than anybody else, and they're very aggressive in finding ways to keep customers coming back. That typically doesn't involve aligning itself with any particular brand.
Yeah.
Amazon wants to keep customers coming back. They're not really interested in whether brands are happy about things. They want to keep their customers happy.
James, very quickly, give me the 30-second elevator version of Buy Box Experts and Prosper Show.
Certainly. So Buy Box Experts, we're an agency that helps brands make these better decisions around how to develop and implement an Amazon strategy. Prosper Show is a large continuing education conference that we do once a year with established Amazon sellers, helping them to understand how to work through all of these challenges of selling on Amazon and continuing to be profitable.
And you
between these two, we have an opportunity to talk with lots of different companies that have lots of different issues finding a way to make a living on the Amazon channel.
And you can find out more at buyboxexperts.com. You can also find out more by reading the new book, The Amazon Marketplace Dilemma, by James Thompson and Joseph Hansen. The Amazon Marketplace Dilemma. This is an intriguing story about how to do business with Amazon. James, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks very much for having me, Sinclair.